Thune stepped back to the table and handed the sheet to Jalan. Avery glanced over her shoulder to take a look as well. It was indeed a piece of the freighter's titanium hull, a perfect square, neatly cut. The picture was dominated by two figures, both carved more realistically than Max had been. One was clearly the gold-armored alien. It carried a hammer across its back and wore a helmet with the same V-shaped crest. The human looked male, but it could have been anyone. To Avery's surprise, the man was offering up what looked to be a large melon with a variegated rind. Thune must have made the same connection because he rummaged deep inside the basket and extracted a large and fragrant cantaloupe. Smiling even wider than before, he walked the fruit to the gold-armored alien and presented it with a bow. "Please, take it," the governor said. "We can give you plenty more." The alien palmed the cantaloupe and gave it a cautious sniff. As Thune began expounding upon the virtues of interspecies commerce, Jalan flipped the sheet over. Avery saw her bare neck stiffen. "Governor, they don't want food."
"Don't be so sure, Commander. I think this one's about to take a bite."
"No," Jalan kept an even tone. "Look." And Avery did. On the other side of the sheet was a magnified view of the melon, which he now realized was a map of harvest, centered on Utgard. What Avery had thought were textures in the rind were actually surface details, maglev lines, roads, and outlines of major settlements. The aliens had made a complete survey and added some sort of notation as well. Ornate symbols were scattered all over the planet. Each symbol was identical, and each consisted of two concentric circles filigreed with interlocking curves. Avery had no idea what the symbols stood for, but that was beside the point. Jalan gave voice to his own realization. "They're looking for something specific, something they think belongs to them." Thune stared at the sheet, doing his best to maintain a diplomatic smile as Jalan flipped it back and forth. "Governor," she said in a whisper, "they want us to give them the entire planet." At that moment, the gold-armored alien barked and extended the melon to Peterson.
"No, no."
The Attorney General raised a hand and took a step back.
"Keep it."
The alien cocked its head and barked again. Now Avery was certain that the musky scent wafting from the shorter escort had become more powerful. Avery wrinkled his nose as it filled with the smell of vinegar and tar. He fought back the urge to draw the M6 pistol holstered at his hip. At that moment, a short burst from an MA5 echoed up from the garden's lowest tier. Whether this was a nervous misfire or the beginning of a firefight, Avery didn't know. But in the brief silence that followed, he heard a throaty alien howl echo from the trees along the river. After that, things happened very quickly. The taller escort ripped its pistol from its belt before Avery could draw or Byrne could slip his battle rifle off his shoulder. The bladed weapon boomed, and a bright spike of metal like lit magnesium sizzled into Peterson's chest. The Attorney General dropped the melon and his comm tablet and fell to his knees, jaw opening and closing like a suffocating fish. He had been closest to the gold-armored leader, the unlucky victim of proximity. The staff sergeants fired back at the escorts closest to their positions, Byrne at the taller, Avery at the shorter, but their bullets had no effect on the alien's armor. In fact, they never even touched it. Each round was deflected by invisible energy shields that followed the contours of the armor and shimmered with every impact.
"Get down!" Avery yelled to Thune as the shorter escort tossed the leader its hammer. Then he tackled Jalan, driving her roughly to the ground. In an instant, the silver-haired giant had the cudgel above its head, ready for a crossbody strike. Thune would have gotten his head knocked clean off his shoulders if Captain Ponder hadn't pushed him out of the way and taken the blow himself. The hammer hit the captain in his prosthetic left arm and sent him twisting through the air. He landed north of Byrne and slid a good 20 meters on the dew-slick grass. Now the shorter escort had its bladed pistol out. As the creature took aim at Avery, he hugged Jalan tight, shielded her smaller body with his own. He had a moment to second-guess Ponder's pronouncement that they had trained the recruits well, that they were ready for the split-second life-or-death decisions combat demanded, when he heard the high-pitched triple crack of Jenkins' BR-55. The shorter escort howled in surprise as a burst pinged off its helmet, snapping its large head back. Then all Avery could hear was the snap of bullets overhead as the 24 Bravo recruits opened fire, full automatic.
Peppered with multiple shots, the shorter escort took a shaky step backward. It jerked left and right as if fighting off an invisible swarm of bees. Then its energy shields collapsed with a flash and a loud pop, and its armor began venting cyan smoke and sparks as dozens more MA-5 rounds slammed into its unprotected plates. Now it was the alien's turn to protect their own. The leader lunged toward its shorter escort, turning its back toward the greenhouse. Its golden armor must have had stronger shields, because even the Bravo squad's concentrated fire failed to take them down. The taller escort loosed a thunderous roar and raked the recruits from north to south, covering the leader as it helped its wounded comrade limp down the stairs to the second tier. Avery wasn't sure how many of the recruits along the greenhouse had been hit, whether their screams were from fresh wounds or an excess of adrenaline. "Cease fire! Cease fire!" Byrne shouted. The recruits had been firing directly over his and the others' heads. Some of their shots had come a little too close.
"You all right?" Avery asked, pushing up from Jalan on his fists.
"Go," she said. "I'm fine." But she looked a little frightened. Like the day in the hospital, it was another temporary break in her unflappable facade. This time, all Avery did was nod.
"One Alpha, fall back," Avery shouted, rising to his feet. "Get away from that dropship."
Avery could hear the pulse of an energy weapon and knew the first dropship's turret had activated even before he turned south and saw bright blue streaks of plasma rake the lowest tier's lawn, covering fire for the armored alien's retreat.